For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey, everybody, I'm Zach.
And I'm Jesse.
You're watching Tesla Time News,
episode 395
on Now You Know. Thanks to DeleteMe for sponsoring this episode. DeleteMe is a hands-free subscription service that will remove your personal information that's being sold online. Maintaining privacy isn't just a personal concern, it's a family affair. So DeleteMe is excited to announce an exciting expansion of their core service, the ability to easily extend protection and peace of mind to anyone you wish to include in your DeleteMe account.
This new feature ensures that everyone can navigate the digital world with confidence.
It creates family account management so you can easily add family members to your DeleteMe account, creating a unified hub for family privacy protection.
You can assign a unique data sheet to each family member tailored to their specific online footprint.
And the data sheets can be set to private, making them inaccessible to the account owner. This feature respects individual privacy within the family, allowing for autonomous control over personal information.
Every family member's digital presence is protected, significantly reducing the risk of unwanted exposure, stalking, spam, or scams.
With easy-to-use controls, account owners can manage privacy settings for the whole family under one roof, offering unparalleled peace of mind knowing your loved ones are protected.
Sign up for DeleteMe via the link in our description and use our code NYK20 to get 20% off.
So maybe you can start getting protected like me now. All right, I thought we should start off the show with some good news. Tesla just produced their 6 millionth vehicle.
Tesla posted on X, produced our 6 millionth car. Thank you to our owners and teams around the world for your support and hard work. It truly matters. So 6 million EVs, I wonder what that growth chart looks like.
Well, thanks to Main Street Data, we get to see a great chart of just that. Okay, so Q4 2011 to Q4 2023.
Wow, just look at that growth.
And we're just getting started, baby. So congrats to the Tesla team. You guys do rock.
And then Elon posted last week, all U.S. cars that are capable of full self-driving will be enabled for a one-month trial this week.
Woohoo! And he sent this internal email to employees. Going forward, it is mandatory in North America to install and activate FSD version 12.3.1 and take customers on a short test ride before handing over the car. Almost no one actually realizes how well supervised FSD actually works. I know this will slow down the delivery process, but is nonetheless a hard requirement.
So this shows that FSD 12.3.1 is coming pre-installed on new Teslas.
Yeah. Remember that FSD can be purchased outright, or you can subscribe for $199 a month.
For vehicles with enhanced autopilot, it's only $99 a month. And I just heard from my friend who has a Model 3, he just got a free trial starting today. But it's funny that Elon didn't refer to full self-driving as full self-driving beta.
Well, that's because it now appears that they're no longer calling it that. According to Sawyer Merritt, FSD beta version 12.3.3 is now rolling out in the US. The pace of progress is fire. And as you can see, they're now calling it FSD supervised. There's also been a lot of questions regarding hardware 3 versus hardware 4. Elon posted, hardware 4 will ultimately be better, but all training is for hardware 3, with hardware 4 running in emulation mode.
Okay, but going back to a 30-day free trial of full self-driving this week, I mean, this is Brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, Tesla will get some great data on take rates, and a whole bunch of people, like your friend, millions will get to revisit FSD because, let's be honest, I think for a lot of people, they either have A, never experienced it, or B, experienced it prior to version 12 when it was a completely different beast.
That a lot.
I mean, FSD beta prior to version 12, to me, is like a rear projection TV in the 1990s versus HD TV today. And I mean, if you have other examples that are better than that one, please comment down below. We have a Patreon poll coming up later asking people if they liked version 12. So we'll have to see what our patrons think. But Sora Merritt went on to say, message from someone who just tried FSD's beta for the first time. He used the free trial. I have no words. Holy jumped fully in, let it drive home to someone else's home, 25 minutes, two freeways, no intervention whatsoever other than choosing the parking spot. Truly a mind-blowing experience.
And Elon said, it's like magic.
And I think this post from Holmeyer's catalog is something the financial analysts have not thought of about at all. He said 6 million cars minus 400,000 with full self-driving equals 5.6 million without full self-driving. 5.6 million times $12,000 equals 67 billion TAM.
I definitely want to discuss this on our Now You Know Patreon Investor Club bonus stories this week.
All right, let's do it. All right, so AAA just released results from their latest poll asking about drivers' attitudes towards self-driving cars. As you can see here, there was a spike in the number of respondents who said that they were afraid of self-driving cars, from 55% who were afraid in 2022 to 68% in 2023.
Afraid? Afraid of what exactly? I mean, there's no truly full self-driving cars yet. I mean, full self-driving beta 12.3, which is the most advanced system, is still only a driver assistance feature. And I mean, yeah, there's like Waymos, but unless you live in one of those cities, you're not going to see them. And most of the time they have a safety driver.
Yeah, I mean, I think what this shows is that most people are swayed by news stories about crashes, right? In fact, AAA spokesperson Adrian Woodland said, the fears are mostly driven by numerous well-publicized incidents where drivers lost their lives in car crashes because they were led to believe their vehicle could drive itself. While there's no vehicle on the road today that can safely drive itself, there are vehicle technologies that can improve driver safety as long as the driver remains fully engaged while behind the wheel.
There seems to be a lot of confusion about what driver assistance features from different manufacturers are.
Yeah, I mean, in this study, 22% of respondents said they thought that driver assistance systems should have the ability to drive the car itself without any supervision due to names like ProPilot, Pilot Assist, and Autopilot.
How many people were polled?
949 people. 18 years or older. They were pulled back in January, mostly online, and it's supposed to represent like the American population.
I think you would have gotten similar results before any new technology took hold. Automobile 100 years ago, cell phones.
Here's a Gallup poll, which showed that the moon landing was opposed by most Americans in 1961. It doesn't mean that people are right when you poll them about stuff that they don't know much about or that they have wrong information that they've learned. Also, by the way, is it in AAA's best interest to be positive about self-driving cars and to educate their members?
What do you mean?
Well, don't they have a vested interest in slowing this down? AAA only gets members who want the service to like help them when their car breaks down, to get a tow truck, or to help them with directions. All these things go away when cars are autonomous.
No, that's a really good point. So, I mean, if only a third of Americans thought that the moon landing would be successful, and now only about a tenth would trust full self-driving cars, I mean, maybe that's a really good sign.
I think it actually is.
Kind of an inverse Kramer.
So this is why we follow Elon's X post so closely. This is Sam Corris from ARK Invest. He said, a humanoid robot is less than a tenth the weight of a car. Can the manufacturing ramp be 10x that of a vehicle? Does that even matter? Seems like the constraint is going to be software capability, not manufacturing capability.
Elon said, complexity per unit mass is much higher with humanoid robots, but still, I think it ends up costing less than half of a car.
K10 says, so $25,000 to $30,000 cost for a humanoid robot?
And Elon said, less over time.
This is what we conjectured on our Tesla bot is coming in depth a year ago.
Right, because Tesla is already good at making robots at scale. Their cars are autonomous robots on wheels, and the Optimus robot is a lot smaller.
Tesla bot is probably only going to have about 250 pounds of stuff. Or less than a tenth. So it's possible a Tesla bot will cost Tesla less than $20,000 each to build when they ramp up to full production in a few years.
Just good to see that we're right about stuff.
Hey.
And while Tesla continues to develop Optimus, it looks like they are also developing a private 5G technology to connect its vehicles and humanoid robots. Pat Ruhlke, lead staff engineer, IT manufacturing solutions engineering at Tesla, just posted a job listing on LinkedIn that says, "You got what it takes to bring vehicle and Optimus cellular connectivity to the next level? I'm looking for an ace engineer to build a seamless private 5G service in between Tesla products and our private 5G infrastructure. Pushing low latencies and data rates to the limit is guaranteed. Tesla is seeking a highly motivated cellular systems integration engineer for the global IT manufacturing solutions engineering team to deliver a best-in-class connectivity experience for all Tesla vehicles and Optimus on Tesla premises."
Now, first of all, Pat, why are you posting this on LinkedIn? You do know that the big guy bought a little social media company called X, which now has job listings?
Yeah, way to go, Pat. We're never going to get invited to fly on Starship.
But seriously, Tesla cars used to communicate using 3G back in the early days. And then starting in 2015, new cars were updated to 4G LTE.
Yeah, the problem with 4G is that it has rather large latency of between like 20 to 30 milliseconds, which may sound low when making a phone call or texting, but it's nowhere near as low as the 5G latency, which can theoretically get as low as 1 millisecond.
If you're commanding a car or a humanoid robot, in or out of a factory, faster communication is obviously better.
So I just want to point out that Pat was actually one of Elon's 25 guns task force engineers for 2 years. For those who don't know, this is the group of engineers that Elon calls on to solve the really tough problems at Tesla, like when he was trying to get the Model 3 production line up and running. Pat speaks 5 languages and has worked at Fremont and Giga Berlin. And Pat's final thesis after his internship at Tesla back in 2015 was Smart Factory at Tesla Motors.
So you're saying Pat probably is going to ride on Starship?
Yeah, I think Pat is definitely one of Tesla's key team members. Pat did post this on X a year ago. Tesla VP Tom Zhu stating the importance of private 5G for manufacturing and that Tesla will roll this out globally.
Keyword, manufacturing.
Yeah, it's all about the machine that makes the machine. Get it? So when Elon visited Giga Berlin a couple weeks ago, he met with the Brandenburg state government. And according to economics minister Jorge Steinbach, Elon Musk has made it clear what he expects from us. In his words, "You absolutely need to find a way to apprehend this attacker. People shouldn't be left with the wrong message if they escape capture." Steinbach went on to say, "We were able to tell him that we were very happy that the federal prosecutor's office had taken over the case. After all, they have the manpower for something like this." He definitely found that to be confidence building.
So this is incredible to me that Elon had to urge the German government to go look for and catch criminals who set fire to an electrical pylon and who took down the electrical grid for a week. And not just affecting the Tesla Gigafactory, but thousands of residents and businesses for miles around.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird to me that Steinbeck said this. "We managed to convince him that Tesla needs to make some major changes to its public relations strategy. They need to be much more open and become a bigger part of the community."
I'm sorry. Didn't Tesla hold like a big party when they opened the factory?
Yeah, wasn't it called like GigaFest Berlin?
Yeah, wasn't Elon wearing like Lederhosen? I don't know.
Yeah, didn't they have like music and food and Tesla test rides and kids rides and everyone was invited?
Yeah, I mean, Tesla opened a train station at the factory and made it free for everyone to take the train.
And I mean, on X, Tesla is constantly posting about milestones and accomplishments at Giga Berlin.
It just feels so unfair that the government seems to constantly demand that Tesla go above and beyond, while big automakers like BMW, Mercedes, and VW get to pump out diesel pollution machines. And this idea of like, well, you know, Tesla needs to work on their public relations strategy to avoid crime happening to them? Is that not the same as, well, you shouldn't have been wearing such skimpy clothes? No! What the hell?
Hey, would you guys help us out and hit the like button? It really makes a difference. No, right now. So Tesla Europe posted, "Delivered our 200,000th Tesla in the UK. Thank you to our owners. Your ace 100.
Tesla is the leading EV maker in the UK, which includes England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland.
Tesla had a 14.9% market share in 2023, according to EUEVs.com.
The Model Y was the best-selling EV in 2023 in the UK, with 35,899 sold.
Now, if we include gas-burning cars, the Ford Puma was the UK's bestseller in 2023 with 49,000. But it is a much cheaper car with starting price of just £25,000. That's about £20,000 less than the Tesla Model Y.
Still, the Model Y makes it onto the top 10 list at number 5 against all cars in the UK.
And not to be outdone, Tesla Australia and New Zealand posted 100,000 Tesla vehicles on the road in Australia.
And Tesla's head of policy, Rohan Patel, posted, "This is just the start for Tesla Australia and New Zealand. Australia and New Zealand are primed to be big winners in so many ways, from electrifying everything. Big markets in battery storage, residential solar, electric vehicles, and the minerals powering the sustainable energy transition. Roughly 80% of our lithium is from Australia."
Wow. 80% of Tesla's lithium comes from Australia. I mean, imagine how much cheaper it'll be for Tesla when companies like Hertz Energy, that we're going to talk about later, are supplying lithium from our neighbors in Canada.
Yeah, it's about 11,800 miles or 19,000 kilometers from Giga Texas to Albemarle's lithium in Australia.
But it's only 2,200 miles or 3,500 kilometers between Giga Texas and James Bay in Canada that we're going to talk about. So one-fifth the distance to get lithium from Canada.
The Model Y was the best-selling car in New Zealand in September in 2023, beating out the Toyota RAV4 and the Ford Ranger.
And in February, the Model 3 became Australia's third best-selling vehicle with 3,500 units sold. As Rohan says, this is just the start for Tesla in Australia and New Zealand. All right, it's time for the Cybertruck Roundup.
Yeehaw! The Cybertruck Roundup.
All right, so Wes Morrill, he's an engineer that works on Cybertruck at Tesla, and he said this about MKBHD's latest video. He said, "Underrated intro, MKBHD and team. Let's continue your game. Think about this answer. Would you consider the 911 an iconic car? I'd say so, and there's more than 1.2 million on the road. My opinion, but I think Cybertruck has icon staying power. I've personally lived with Cybertruck day in and day out for years, and I still find myself doing the glance back as I walk away from my parking spot. And your comment on steer-by-wire is 100% right. It's ruined driving anything else for me. But let's be honest. It's not just making other trucks feel outdated. I bet you feel the same disappointment getting back into that 911 Turbo S."
Yas says, "No, sir. No one wants steer-by-wire in a 911 or any sports car for that matter. It's a good feature for big trucks or daily boring cars. Appliances only. It's obvious Tesla engineers are engineers first and car guys second."
But here's what I love. Because Elon has said to his team, "You can be on X and you can speak out," Wes got back to him and said, "Steer-by-wire and modern power assist steering are both doing the majority of the work for the driver and can have the same responsiveness and road feedback. In fact, you could amplify the feedback if desired. The main difference is that steer-by-wire can have a variable steering ratio, which is better for low speeds. You could make a steer-by-wire system behave exactly like a power-assisted system if that's what you really wanted to do. So what's the reason you think sports cars shouldn't be steer-by-wire?"
And then Yas responded, "If you can engineer a steer-by-wire system with the same or better responsiveness feedback and proper redundancy, including for power, without increasing weight, I'm happy to give it a shot. To be honest, I didn't even like my Model 3 steering. Felt numb, video gamey. Okay for a daily, though."
And Wes says, "It'll get there. We don't have direct connect throttle anymore, and that's an improvement as well in responsiveness and tunability." He went on to say, "Direct connection is typically a metal cable run through a flexible housing attached to a cam, which pulls the throttle flap open. That valve is held closed by a spring. Lots of chances for friction to cause a delayed response, especially on liftoff. Also, no way to change the pedal map. Modern throttle-by-wire cars have different effective cam shape and size, which you can electronically switch between, for example, between standard and sports modes." So yeah, I just love it now that we can actually hear from Tesla engineers and we can kind of put an end to that just negative, like, "It's not as good as my 911.
I'm a car guy and you should listen to me because I'm a car guy."
Which
that somehow makes me more qualified than an engineer who designs real cars.
I think we should rename car guys old car guys, uh-huh, because they're referring to the way you used to build a car.
Well, and it's like with a fighter airplane, no one is going like, "You know what?
It's not as good as my Spitfire.
You know, the F-15, it should have had cables in it instead of flying by wire." Sawyer Merritt said, "Kim Kardashian has posted a set of new photos with her Cybertruck to her 364 million followers. Free advertising for Tesla."
And Elon said, "Cool."
That's a good shot with the, you know, right in front of the hood.
Yeah.
You know, I want to take a picture like that. I won't look as good as Kim Kardashian, but, you know, whatever.
Jakey says, "What a time to be alive."
Is that a pool?
Kind of looks like a pool.
Wow. And Elon said, "Nice."
That would be cool, though, to put a liner in there and make it a pool. And congratulations to our buddy Anwar Beck and his family on getting their Cybertruck a couple days ago. And look at that. I guess Tom Zhu helped deliver it to him.
Wow, nice.
Anyway, if you want to follow everything that's going on in the world of Cybertruck, go over to our friends at Cybertruck Owners Club. There you're going to find their awesome forums, but also
their 3D configurator, allowing you to visualize the Cybertruck in any color, wrap, and logo.
And all their tracking spreadsheets so you can see when you're going to get your Cybertruck. So head on over there now. Thank you so much for sponsoring us. It's been an exciting couple of weeks, what with Tesla's FSD 12.3 coming out and the ability to charge Fords and Rivians on Tesla's supercharger network.
Zach and I tested if we could supercharge the Ford Lightning and the Rivian R1T, and you can see that over on our In-Depth, which we released last Friday.
So some of the comments were like, why didn't you watch Kyle Connor's video first on Out of Spec to learn how to do it?
Well, Zach actually did watch Kyle's videos, because Kyle is, let's face it, an expert on this thing. But I wanted to see what the experience would be like as an average Ford or Rivian driver who doesn't spend hours researching and making playlists and doesn't know about plug and charge and how to do it. I wanted to see if the screen on the Ford would tell me what to do or the Ford app would tell me what to do. And it doesn't. So I just sat there and I figured it out how to do it on my phone, which is different than one of the ways that you could do it otherwise. And we haven't gotten the CCS adapter from Ford or Rivian yet. The CCS to Tesla adapter we used was from Lectron, and we reviewed that also for you on our Now Let's Review channel.
So if you're a Rivian or Ford owner who would like to supercharge, go check out those two videos.
Even if you're not a Rivian or Ford owner, you may want to see what the experience will be like and why us Tesla owners may be losing more supercharging spaces than we thought. We want to thank Hertz Energy this week for sponsoring the show. We just published a great interview with the founder and CEO of Hertz Energy, Kyle Mahi.
So there's a bunch of really exciting lithium discoveries taking place up in what's called the James Bay region of Canada. And Hertz Energy is one of the companies that's making plans to extract lithium there. So since you're watching the show, then you probably know why.
Lithium is such a big deal now and will be an even bigger deal in the next decade.
Lithium batteries are in everything from smart devices to EVs to home storage batteries to grid scale batteries.
It's one of the lightest elements and it's very abundant on Earth, but it still has to be found and extracted and refined.
And that is where companies like Hertz Energy come in. Now, we're not financial advisors. Investing is risky business, so do your own research before investing your hard-earned cash. Hertz Lithium reminds me of another early stage company. A number of years ago, when we started out on our crazy YouTube journey, one of our friends in the EV space told me about this company called Nouveau Monde Graphite Mine up in Canada. Now, the company was just starting the process of exploring for graphite. And I was like, graphite? That sounds boring, like the graphite in pencils. And then we learned that EV batteries are full of graphite in the anode. And after some research, I invested in what was a very low price stock. I think it was like 20 or 25 cents a share when I invested. Fast forward a few years, and they got listed on the New York Stock Exchange, and...
Wait, you bought before Nouveau Monde Graphite joined the New York Stock Exchange?
Right. Back in 2016, I had already 10x'd my investment. And that's why we want to share this interview with Hertz Energy. It could be a good fit for your stock portfolio if you're looking for an early exploration lithium mining company. It is high risk, but potentially really high reward.
Not only are Hertz's James Bay properties located in Canada, which is awesome in terms of making their lithium eligible for the full $7,500 federal EV tax credit,
but also the Canadian government is really positive now towards mining these minerals because they're helping the world's transition to a sustainable energy and transportation future.
And being in the James Bay region where lots of other lithium is being found means that there's going to be lots of infrastructure and expertise in the area to help get it out of the ground, refined, and transported.
And speaking of refining lithium,
which Elon said himself is like a license to print money,
Hertz Energy has partnered with Penn State University, the College of Earth and Mineral Sciences, which has a patent-pending breakthrough technology that offers a way to extract the lithium directly from alpha spodumene with recovery of up to 95%.
This new process eliminates the calcination process, significantly reducing cost, chemical consumption, and greenhouse gas emissions.
Hertz has acquired the exclusive worldwide licensing rights to utilize this technology.
If you're an investor, you owe it to yourself to go check out our interview with Kyle over on the Disruptive Investing channel today and educate yourself.
Keep in mind, we're not this guy.
It's a screaming buy right here. And we bought some more today.
We believe in thoughtful, relaxed discussions where you can get to hear directly from the founders and CEOs so you get to make up your own mind about whether a company is the right fit for your portfolio.
Yeah, because Hertz Energy is valued at like $6.8 million today. Imagine what it could be valued if their hard work pays off.
One of the riskiest parts of mining has always been that the thing you're mining for can take years to get out of the ground, and if that mineral becomes worth less, then you just wasted a lot of time and money. But if you have some knowledge that other investors don't know about,
shh, you didn't hear this from me, but I think that little mineral called lithium could be extremely valuable.
There's so much more information about Hertz Energy. You'll need to watch the full interview to find out more.
So put that video next on your playlist, and hopefully he'll be thanking us down the road.
I am just so confused about this news that keeps coming out about Ford's F-150 Lightning production. Mm-hmm. So you remember that Ford slashed Lightning production late last year, and then this February they paused shipments of Lightnings and instead prioritized the gas F-150s.
Well, I mean, no surprise there. Ford seemed to be losing money on every single Lightning that they sold.
So I guess I shouldn't be surprised then that Ford confirmed last week that they're cutting their Lightning production workforce by 2/3. They'll either reassign or allow workers at their Rouge Electric Vehicle Center to take a $50,000 retirement package. That will leave just 700 workers on site, down from 2,100. Todd Dunn, the president of UAW Local 862 in Louisville, Kentucky, says that battery tech is the main holdup in why purchasing power has slowed. He said, their intentions were to build 180,000 plus units. Right now, we're looking at 55,000 units they're going to build. There are some things out there that's causing this: distance on battery charges, new technology that's being brought about overseas, that technology being implemented over there already in certain design models.
Even though I don't agree with him, I think Ford CFO John Lawler's statement at Ford's investor conference last week summed it up very well for how Ford sees things unfolding. He says, we definitely need to work to match capacity with demand. Demand is much slower than the industry expected when it comes to EVs.
I mean, yeah. Demand is not where Ford hoped it would be for a truck that basically costs $75,000 and doesn't have the stats to match the Cybertruck. Lightning sales were doing okay until the Cybertruck came out.
And yes, both trucks have similar price points right now, but as Tesla ramps Cybertruck production, I believe that price will come down, just as Tesla's entire lineup prices have come down.
Now, Ford could have also slowly brought the Lightning prices down if they had continued to scale production, but this is going to hurt them badly. In fact, this may be a fatal wound. I think their leadership really botched this badly, and I think it's only a matter of time until Cybertruck crushes Ford's F-150 dynasty. But what do you think? Let us know down in the comments. Maybe I'm a fool. Speaking of batteries, Tesla's Lathrop, California Megapack factory has a record number of batteries on site. 446, to be exact, were spotted. That's about $700 million worth of the grid-scale batteries.
That's a 31% increase from the previous record. And keep in mind that Tesla Energy's generation and storage business segment nearly quadrupled their profits in 2023.
Yeah, check out this annual chart from MainStreetData.com. By the way, the free stuff on MainStreetData.com is good, but the premium content is amazing. Use our link down below to get 10% off the premium. Yeah, so check out this chart of Tesla's energy storage deployment.
Wow, that's a lot. Now, how much does Tesla sell Megapacks for again?
So the four-hour duration version costs $1.2 million, not including installation. And get this, Tesla estimates that the annual maintenance cost per Megapack is $8,830. That's about 0.7% maintenance cost.
Okay.
I did a little math. The average gas-powered peaker plant has an annual maintenance cost of about 1.67% per kilowatt. The Tesla Megapack has an annual maintenance cost of just 0.44% per kilowatt.
That's 1/4 the annual maintenance cost. I mean, no wonder utilities are loving Megapacks so much.
Again, while so many investors are looking solely at the vehicle production and sales numbers, what's Q1 sales going to be? They're missing another whole segment of what Tesla does.
Yeah, the revenue for Tesla's energy segment alone in 2023 was $6 billion.
Yeah, look at another awesome chart here from Main Street Data. This is Tesla's revenue by segment for the past 5 years. Dark blue is obviously autos, light blue is service, and pink is energy. The scale on the right is $100 billion, so Tesla had revenue of over $80 billion with its auto segment in 2023. So that's why the pink energy segment might look so insignificant, but again,
look how fast it's growing.
And we're going to take an even deeper dive on this on Investor Club Bonus Stories this week. All right, let's talk about the Tesla ramp. Making so many cars, so many Cybertrucks. No,
that's a picture of a ramp, Zach. You know that's a picture of a ramp that Joe Tegmeyer got for us.
I thought we were talking about the ramp of the Cybertruck.
Well, this is a ramp, and I want to talk about it a little bit. So this is at Giga Texas.
Right.
And as you can see,
it's just a ramp.
It's a ramp, but it's kind of pointing down.
Wait, isn't this just a ramp that you drive trucks up to get into the factory and they just haven't mounted it?
That's mounted to the ground. And basically what it would do is it would take a tractor trailer and it would tilt it back just a little bit. And then can you see that conveyor belt?
Why?
I think that Tesla is developing a new method, or at least new to me, method for unloading tractor trailer trucks.
Okay, hang on though. Right next to this is a typical loading bay where you drive in a forklift into the back of a truck.
And you can see that little ramp there that it has. It lowers down and locks into the trailer so that way the truck can't drive away with a forklift driver in it.
Okay, but we've been doing it this way for years. Why not just continue doing it this way?
Well, if you have a typical semi-tractor trailer truck that backs up into the thing and the gate goes down, there's a bunch of manual work that needs to go into that, but then you have to have somebody with a forklift go in, grab hopefully pallets, because if it's just cardboard boxes, he can't use a forklift.
Okay.
But okay, so you drive in a forklift and you drive out one pallet.
Okay.
Then you have to drive back in and take out a pallet and do this over and over again. Then when you're done, you've got a bunch of pallets. Now, the pallets could have anything on them from, you know, tools and machinery to boxes full of stuff. That means that you somehow have to unpack this stuff and get it ready to be manufactured into a Tesla.
Let me get this straight. So you think this tilts the back of the tractor trailer in so that when you open that gate, like things just like golf balls just like flow into the factory?
I'm thinking it's golf ball sized.
Okay.
Just based off of, I don't know. I think that it would have to be round in order to roll. And then I think that basically you'd open the back doors of a tractor trailer truck. There'd be like a false wall that would kind of guide everything onto this conveyor belt. But then see what you can do is nobody else needs to be involved. All the stuff flows onto the conveyor belt. The conveyor belt takes it to wherever it needs to go into the factory. And it goes straight to the robot.
I want to go one step further because I think, since they're probably not using a lot of golf balls, I think maybe inside the bed of that truck could be a conveyor belt itself, so that you're right. When you get there, the back of the truck opens up and the inside conveyor belt in the truck just conveys things onto the conveyor belt in the Gigafactory.
But then you don't need the ramp. What's the ramp?
Oh, I see. Because your system is using gravity.
I don't know. So please comment below.
Yeah, someone must know.
Yeah. And I mean, you can see it here next to a couple of other tractor trailers. It's the exact right size.
I mean, this does seem like a little side project that if they can get working could make things more efficient. And if you can make things more efficient even by like 10%, that's a huge thing when, look at, I mean, this whole side of the factory is made up of trucks.
And every single trailer that you see is going to be anywhere from 5 minutes to an hour's worth of man hours just unloading the dang tractor trailer.
Not to mention all the traffic inside the factory with, you know, pallets being driven around.
And why do you need so many bays?
Mm.
Because it's got to sit there for a while as you unpack things and load stuff back up. If the tractor trailer could be backed up and unloaded in, say, 5 minutes, then you drive that one away, you pull in a new one.
This actually got me playing Factorio last night again. And I had that typical problem where, you know, you fill a box and then you have to go over and empty the box. And then you're like, why am I doing that? I'll just have a conveyor belt do it.
Have a conveyor belt and robots do it.
I think, please comment down below if you know what Factorio is. Hey, and if you want to share a clip you've seen on the show, but you don't want to share the entire 1 hour.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Episode, go to Now You Know Clips channel or go to X, where we share a lot of these clips there for you. All right, next up is Ellie in Space with our SpaceX update.
Well, Zach and Jesse, here's your SpaceX update from the past week. We now have a better idea of when the next Starship launch will be and what exactly they're looking to achieve for IFT-4. A lot of these details we actually gleaned from Gwynne Shotwell. She is the president of SpaceX, if you're unfamiliar, and we don't hear her talk a lot, so that was really a treat. She spoke at the Satellite 2024 conference. Here's a clip.
We're still going through the data. It was an incredibly successful flight, obviously. We hit exactly where we wanted to go. It was not an orbital flight with purpose. We wanted to make sure we could passively come back on a, you know, a trajectory that we could count on if we didn't relight the second stage engine a second time, basically, to re-enter. But boost stage was beautiful. In fact, we got the relight of the booster engines to come back. We didn't complete that part of the phase either, but ascent phase was beautiful for both stages. And then we'll figure out what happened on both stages as well and get back to flight, hopefully in about 6 weeks, flight 4, hopefully, at beginning part of May. And I don't think we're going to deploy satellites on the next flight. Things are still in trade, but I think we're really gonna focus on getting reentry right and making sure we can land these things where we wanna land them successfully.
So the goal for IFT-4, which they tried, but failed on IFT-3, is to get through max reentry heating with all systems functioning. This is according to Elon. SpaceX also did some tests this past week, including a static fire of a single Raptor engine using the header tanks on Flight 4 Starship. They also did a full duration static fire of all 6 Raptor engines. So Elon was also interviewed recently on his jet using Starlink, and all of this taking place on X video. And we learned some more details about Starship and the program, which is that they intend to launch 5 or 6 more times this year. Originally, they wanted to launch 9 times, but I think with it already being April, that will be hard to achieve. So we'll be lucky to see 6. So yeah, I will be in Japan for the next 2 weeks. I'm really looking forward to that trip. So hopefully I will be able to do a Now You Know update from Japan. I know you guys will all appreciate that. And I hope that you're enjoying my updates here on Now You Know. If you like them, please consider following my channel, Ellie in Space. And I'll see you next time.
Ellie's going to Japan? That's awesome. Okay, so it sounds like a May launch of Starship.
And only 6 more flights of Starship this year instead of 9.
Oh, wow.
6. If we have 6 Starship launches, that's going to be awesome.
So May the 4th. It's going to be May the 4th.
Yeah. I hope you're right. Hope you're right.
It was on Pi Day last time.
Exactly. And NASA JPL tweeted out, how does a spacecraft survive a wild rocket ride in harsh space conditions? By passing a series of tests here on Earth first.
Elon said this is an especially important mission. Some chance it may find signs of life in Europa, a moon of Jupiter.
That's going to be an exciting mission. And Elon said Starlink now in Argentina. He also posted SpaceX aiming for 3 launches today. 1 Eutelsat, which just reached orbit, and 2 Starlink missions.
Wow.
And he said liftoff of Falcon 9 marking 260 reflights of Falcon boosters since our first one 7 years ago today.
Could you imagine if they had to make 260
rockets?
60 more rockets?
And S.E. Robinson Jr. posted, when you look out the window of SpaceX Crew Dragon capsule and see the International Space Station... So yeah, that's looking down on the space station. All right, it's time for Into the Future, sponsored by our friends at Henson Shaving.
This is my absolutely favorite razor. You can get yours over at HensonShaving.com. Use the code NOWYOUKNOW at checkout, and you'll get a box of 100 blades for free.
So if you're not into digging, you may not follow this, but the 2024 Not a Boring Competition is now underway. The Boring Company said the 2024 Not a Boring Competition has begun. The 130 students, which are 8 teams in 5 countries, are competing on max tunneling speed and innovation, Beat the Snail. And if you're new to the Boring Company, then you might be wondering, what does Beat the Snail mean?
It refers to the Boring Company's mascot, Gary, from SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah, snails move at 0.03 miles per hour. Boring Company's latest iteration of their electric tunnel boring machine, Proofrock 3, is designed to move at 1 mile per week. So what is that in miles per hour?
That is 0.14 miles an hour.
Oh, wow. So the Boring Company has beat Gary for sure.
Okay, but what is this Not a Boring Competition?
Okay, so last year's competition in the 2023 Not a Boring Competition finals, they had 5 teams advance to the finals. These are the teams.
Who won?
TUM Boring with a 11.8 meter tunnel.
Nice.
This year's competition, again, is to see who can tunnel the fastest. And in the main event, participants will compete in three categories ranked by importance. So fastest completion of the tunnel, innovative design, and more accurate tunnel. Oh, and in this year's tunnel boring competition, there's also been added three mini competitions. There's a digging project, which will create an innovative digging system for a tunnel boring machine. Mm. The tunnel lining project, create an innovative tunnel reinforcement system for a tunnel boring machine. And navigation project, innovate a tunnel boring machine's autonomous guidance and navigation system, which cannot use GPS to localize. So registration is now open for the 2025 Not a Boring competition. It'll take place at their Bastrop, Texas headquarters for 8 days in the spring of 2025. And there are so many open positions at the Boring Company. So if you are into this kind of engineering, you should think about applying.
And good luck to all the teams competing this year.
Now, I think for most of the world who know little to nothing about Elon's Boring Company, this just seems like some kind of joke. But snails and funny company names aside, what the Boring Company is attempting to do is a game changer for human society.
Tunnels made by electric boring machines are way faster to make, which means cheaper construction projects.
And if they are successful, can you imagine a world where we pedestrians can take back the surface of our world and relegate transportation to underground? No more traffic. We get safe, clean walking throughout our towns and cities.
By the way, if you're one of those boring teams competing, please share your pictures, videos, and stories with us.
And the Boring Company said the 2024 Not a Boring competition is heating up 24 hours till the race begins. So yeah, all this week, they'll be hopefully posting about what's going on.
That's awesome.
And I think it's the Swiss team with their CU Hyperloop. They have powered up their TBM, so they're already going. All right, it's time for Going Green. So you want to go out cruising on the lake or ocean this summer, but you don't want stinky diesel fumes?
Ew, gross.
Well, if you got some extra money in your checking account, then I might just have the thing for you. The Halavai 2050.
Halavai? I mean, is this company from Finland? And do I have to wait till 2050 to ride it?
It's actually a US-based startup that's been in stealth mode for the past 3 years, which is probably why you haven't heard of it. Mm. Halavai is partnered with Hypercraft, Mercury Marine, and Navico Group, and it's going to start production of the Model 2050 at its new White Bluff, Tennessee facility this year with 35 initial builds slated for production. So I don't know why they called it the 2050.
Okay, so how much are we talking?
Wow. How much?
Well, I'll give you the specs and then you guess the price. How about that?
Okay.
So it's 24 feet long, all electric with a fiberglass infused hull. You can get either the 60 or the 120 kilowatt hour marine grade battery, and it has room for 10 passengers. Hmm. The drivetrain is a Mercury Alpha 1 Gen 2 with 300 horsepower, and it can cruise at 25 miles an hour with a top speed of 35 plus miles an hour with 50 nautical miles of range on the 60 kilowatt hour battery pack. I'm assuming double that for the other battery pack. It has 6.6 kilowatts of onboard charging. It has 12-inch nav screen, high-powered surround system, keyless startup, 100% cork flooring, and a 26-inch swim deck in the rear. Okay, so guess the starting price.
Okay, only 50 miles of range for the smaller battery pack. So it is a pontoon boat. So pontoon boats are usually like 35,000. So I'll guess like 50,000?
I mean, it's not really a pontoon boat. Okay, it's 185,000.
Ooh.
Bruh.
It seems a little bit pricey for me. I mean, especially for how it looks.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking we should convert a gas-powered pontoon boat to electric and then see how cheaply we could do it, because I bet we could build like 8 of them for this price. But
yeah, let us know in the comments if you think that this boat has what you'd be looking for at this price range, because, I mean, I don't own a boat and I don't have a good sense of what people should spend on boats. I mean, that's not true. I own a canoe.
That's true. I used to own a rowboat. So.
We're
boating people.
We're yachters.
Yes, we both know how to sail.
Yeah, and don't forget that electric boats have way lower maintenance costs. So, I mean, you get that.
You'll get all the money back. Just think about it that way. Honey, we'll get all the money back not paying for maintenance.
All right, it's time for sunspots. Did you know that all U.S.-made solar panels up until now are actually made with imported solar cells?
Wait, what? So a U.S. company takes imported solar cells, I'm assuming from China, puts an aluminum frame around them and glass on top and attaches some wires and calls it made in the U.S.?
Yep. But now, Helene, which makes solar panels in Minnesota, will be incorporating Suniva's Georgia-based monocrystalline silicon solar cells into its panels. So those panels should be hitting the market by the middle of this year, thanks to a new 3-year, $400 million deal that was just signed.
Why is this happening now?
Well, solar developers and even us residents can get that 30% solar federal tax credit. But under new guidance published in May of last year, developers can also get an additional 10% domestic content bonus investment tax credit if they use solar panels with U.S.-made cells.
And this was new from the IRA, right?
Right. This extra incentive seems to be working at bringing more renewable manufacturing back to the U.S. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said last week, between 2016 and 2020, nearly 20% of solar manufacturing jobs were lost. Now, though there remain significant challenges, Inflation Reduction Act's tax credits are helping change the game. And if you want to change the game on your house and get solar panels, but you've got a lot of questions, go to our friends at EnergyPal. They can help answer the questions about tax rebates and all that stuff, and they'll do it for free. Let them know that Zach and Jesse sent you. All right, it's time for our video contributor stories. We need your stories. Send them in to us at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. Make them 2 minutes or less. Shoot them in landscape, good audio, no music, and let's see what we got this week.
Robert sent us this update on his 1,000 Tesla wall connectors in 100 days challenge. Let's check it out.
Hello, Zach and Jesse. Robert Borkowski here. March 3rd, 2024. I want to give you a quick update about the 1,000in100days.com initiative. We are officially going to deliver a 20th wall connector to a lucky new Tesla owner here in Virginia. So here I'm at Tyson's Corner. We have a beautiful Cybertruck. So yes, originally our deadline was to get this 1,000 wall connectors by the end of 2023. We as a Tesla community decided to keep it going. As long as the Tesla referral program allows us to do it, we'll continue until 2024. Well, at least we until we get 1,000 wall connectors. The Tesla community is unbelievably awesome. So we have 200 wall connectors ready to found a new house. So we need the community overall to get the word out, request a referral credit to place an order for your Tesla. And by doing so, once you accept your vehicle, we give you a free wall connector. Now you know.
Thank you, Robert, for doing that. That's amazing. And the fact that it's working. What a great community we have. All right, it's time for our Patreon bonus stories. We got tons of bonus stories this week. We got Investor Club bonus stories. We got the disruptive investing video. I mean, we do so much stuff here. Please just support us. Please head over to patreon.com/nowyouknow for as little as a buck a month. You get so much. We'll see you there. All right, we're back from our Patreon bonus stories. We got a two-part poll this week. Part one.
Have you experienced Tesla's full self-driving, supervised, version 12.3?
Looks like half of our patrons have, so that's good. And I ask that you only answer the second part if you knew what you're talking about.
Sure.
So please only answer if you've done it. What did you think about full self-driving 12.3?
And 78% of people said that it was amazing, definitely a step change from previous versions.
0% said that it was worse.
Wow.
So that's some good data.
0% on a poll.
Yeah, I've never seen that
before. That's amazing. No, nobody clicked it. That's, I mean, I wouldn't have expected it, but I mean, that's awesome.
What great patrons we have.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when you see a poll online, people just click.
Right. You have to.
How many things can I click on?
You have to filter out crappy data. We get like good data. That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's great for Tesla because it shows that 78% of the people think it's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Time for Elon's X's of the week. And Brian said, this morning I used FSD 12.3 in my Tesla Model S for the first time.
Elon said, it's baby AGI.
Elon said, found this in my fortune cookie tonight.
Take a vacation. You will have unexpected gains. I wonder if that's about full self-driving.
Zuby said, these days I judge intelligence partly by how resistant people are to psyops. There are smart people who fall for every single one, so I struggle to consider them intelligent.
Elon said, it's a function of the strength of one's internal firewall rather than intelligence.
Tim Urban says, it'll soon become ubiquitous among upper-class families to restrict kids under 16 from using social media. Hopefully, the trend spreads to all families before too long, 100 times easier to enforce the rule when all parents are doing it.
Elon said, yeah.
Elon said, the fundamental error of socialism, which smart people still fall for, is shifting capital allocation from highly effective entrepreneurs to astonishingly ineffective government. This dramatically reduces total goods and services output, which determines our standard of living. Elon said, Tesla's self-driving AI will be vastly better than human. It only gets better from here. He went on to say the right way to grade any technology is not comparing it to competitors, too easy, but comparing it to the limits of physics. That is, for example, how we grade Starlink latency, which shows that there is still a lot of room for improvement. Same for dollars per ton to Mars. Rob Henderson said each additional negative word in a headline equals 2.3% increase in click-through rate. Most frequent negative words in headlines are
wrong, bad, awful, hate, war, worse, sick, fight, scary, hell.
That should be our title
Great.
This week.
Oh, awesome. You're going to click on that.
Elon says, it's just what resonates with our limbic system. Evolutionarily, news about danger was far more important than good news, as the former could result in your death. Those who did not respond to danger did not procreate. Only the paranoid survived. In modern times, the danger is far away and rarely actually affects us, but our vestigial limbic resonance with scary news remains.
Later this week, Grok will be enabled for all premium subscribers, not just Premium Plus.
Ooh. Grok has normal mode and fun mode. Tonight, we decided to add an unhinged fun mode. It is next level. I have not found that yet. And then he said, going forward, all X accounts with over 2,500 verified subscriber followers will get premium features for free, and accounts with over 5,000 will get Premium Plus for free.
Huh.
Oh, well, that's us. Thank you, Elon.
Nice.
Paolo says the number of Northern Europeans with IQs greater than 140 should be 4 per 1,000, while 23 per 1,000 Ashkenazim should exceed the same threshold, a six-fold difference.
Elon said, smart for humans, at least. We will all be dumber than a house cat compared to AI, if that's any consolation. With assortative mating and cesarean sections allowing a larger head size, there have been a massive rise in exceptionally smart people in the last half century or so.
Adrian says, 2024 is wild.
Elon said, gonna get crazier.
Aviation says, Super Puma AS-33-2M1 helicopter flares.
Elon said, ineffective against vision-guided missiles, which is easy these days.
Elon says, nothing more precious than old friends. Matthew Donegan Ryan says, example number two of why Tesla needs to heavily advertise their prices. Literally no one that I know in real life, sorry Tesla nerds, believes you can buy a new Model Y in the 30,000s before rebates.
Elon says, we are. Well, you're not to
Kim
the
Kardashian
level that
doesn't
he's...
count. Elon says, there are two modern examples, Germany and Korea, where people were in essentially the same starting position, but the country got split along an arbitrary line. One side went full government, communism. The other side went about half government. A few decades later, the standard of living in the fully government side was roughly 5 times lower. This gap widened further with time. A good test of which system is better is who needs to build a wall to keep the people in. That's the bad one. He went on to say, a lot of people think of government and corporations as different, but the government is simply the worst form of a corporation in the limit in that it cannot go bankrupt without bankrupting the people and has a monopoly on violence. Financial operating systems matter. Ian Miles Chung says, I bet you didn't know this, but Elon Musk, Peter Thiel, Max Levchin, and David Sachs produced Thank You for Smoking, a movie about regulatory capture. Elon's been at war with the establishment for a long time. Elon says the story of how this got made is interesting.
He went on to say, if anything, the reality of lobbying is actually worse than the parody in the movie. The staggering scale of government waste is beyond comprehension.
He went on to say, many movies exist about a lone inventor in a garage having a eureka moment, but almost none about manufacturing, so it's underappreciated by the public. Compared to the insane pain of reaching high volume, positive margin production, prototypes are a piece of cake.
So is he downplaying Iron Man, even though he gets compared to Iron Man all the time? He's like, yeah, the crazy guy in his whatever. It's all about manufacturing.
He went on to say, I favor empathy, but the assumption that empathy will always be reciprocated is false.
God Sad said, hence, suicidal and misdirected empathy is likely to be the topic of my next book.
Elon said, great, a future with more empathy would be wonderful, but this can only be done from a position of strength. If the weak favor empathy, but the strong do not, the weak will be enslaved or killed, as happened with the pacifist Moriori. Josh says, in another time and in another place, the U.S. built the Empire State Building, the world's tallest building at the time, in a bit over 13 months from start to finish.
Elon said, now any major construction project in America is borderline illegal. If you reuse the truss steel that fell, it could be functioning in 3 to 6 months. The repair should be put to commercial bid with a massive incentive for early and safe completion.
And of course, we're talking about that bridge collapse in Maryland. Tara Bull says, breaking, FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried sentenced to 25 years, significantly less than the 40 to 50 years that federal prosecutors wanted. Charges against SBF for making illegal campaign donations were dropped.
And Elon said, indeed.
Dan says, it seems Mark really thinks he's some sort of vigilante and the only one who ever disagrees with Elon on X.
Elon says, people trash me all day. It's fine. Mark Cuban is a crybaby.
The Rabbit Holes has this quote from Noam Chomsky, state propaganda, when supported by the educated class and when no deviation is permitted from it, can have a big effect.
Elon said, insane that the legacy media has opposed doing research and critical thinking.
Elon said, only 379,000 births in Italy for 2023, the lowest annual figure since the country's unification in 1861. Jeremy says, are medical studies being written with ChatGPT? Well, we all know that ChatGPT overuses the word delve. Look below at how often the word delve is used in papers on PubMed. 2023 was the first year of full ChatGPT. And Elon said,
delve.
And then Francois says, we really haven't thought through the long-term negative externalities of LLMs.
And Elon says, ask an LLM to delve into it.
Elon said humans are weaker and slower than other mammals. If it were not for intelligence, we would have long since died out. Intelligence has obviously been the primary evolutionary vector for humans. What is underappreciated is how much happened in the last 10,000 years. There was an intelligence explosion about 6,000 years ago with sudden development of writing, agriculture, elementary math, etc. All that said, our little meat computers are just the biological bootloaders for digital superintelligence. David Sachs says, even though the mainstream media is widely distrusted, it can still create new hoaxes faster than independent media can debunk them.
And Elon said, true. Well, the hoaxes are debunked fast on this platform, but not everyone is here. Still a lot of people living blissfully in the Matrix, believing what the legacy media spoon feeds them.
All right, it's time for community mail time.
Community mail time.
And remember, share your stories, your photos, and videos with us at helloandnowyouknowchannel.com.
Now, before we get into this, a quick PSA for engineering students. X posted on the Careers channel the X Developer Challenge.
Yeah, the X Developer Challenge will start on April 20th at 10 p.m. Engineering students who wish to participate must register by April 8th. Participants must be 18 years or older. They must be able to travel to the company's headquarters in San Francisco. And X states that no more than four people will be on one team.
And we'll put the link down below so you can go check it out.
All right, so Boris spotted this Rivian R1T in Mississauga, Ontario, Canada.
Rafael saw this MGEV in Antwerp, Belgium.
Ivan spotted the Cybertruck towing a trailer at the DMV in California.
I'd like to register my Cybertruck.
What? I don't think you can.
Ed spotted these Cybertrucks in Pasadena, California.
Jason saw this Ford Mustang Mach-E at the Hertz Car Rental in Bush International Airport in Houston.
Craig came across this GMC Sierra EV pickup at the Nashville Zoo.
Andrea saw this VW ID7 at the Volkswagen dealership in Trento, Italy.
Cliff spotted these Cybertrucks at Rudy's Barbecue in College Station, Texas.
Jonathan saw these two Highland Refresh Model 3s in Phoenix, Arizona.
Ed spotted this black wrapped Cybertruck in Monrovia, California.
That looks sweet. Jeff saw this pink Model 3 in Salt Lake City, Utah.
And Chris sent us this updated picture of the Tesla diner under construction in Santa Monica, California.
Oh, that's going to be so fun.
It's going to look really good.
All right, it's time for the EV tip of the week. And Jim sent us this Tesla tip about setting the hatch opening height on the Model Y.
Let's talk about the rear hatch opening in a garage for a moment. So if you look right here on my car, you'll see a nice little chip in the paint. I learned the hard way because when I open up the hatch, while it was in the garage, bang, it hit up there. Now you notice I have a lot of clearance right now. The problem with that is that I hit my head whenever I come under the hatch. So what I have to do is I have to grab the hatch with my hand and I have to move it to where it's very close. Press and hold this button until you hear the ding. All right, now when I close it, and then I open it again, it should go back to that same height, which now it's better, but not perfect. Still, I would rather lightly brush my head here as opposed to keep denting my car.
Thanks, Jim. I didn't know about setting the trunk opening height.
Now you know.
All right, let's see what we got for Supercharger reviews this week.
Hey, it's John. I'm here in Jasper, one of Canada's oldest and most popular national parks. And I am here at the supercharging station, which has 8 Tesla stalls, along with 3 generic charging stations. And I have to give this station a 10. We're right on the main drag of Jasper. You've got restaurants, you've got shops, you've got pubs, you've got outfitters, everything, accommodations, everything you could possibly want in one of Canada's most beautiful national parks, right in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. This has to be a destination for you. You've got the chargers, come see it.
Hey Jesse and Zach, we are here at the supercharger station in Modi'in, Israel, on the way from Jerusalem to Tel Aviv. And this is personally the first time I'm charging a Tesla with my friend's Tesla here. And it's closed as you see right now, but it's in the middle of a beautiful shopping mall, so you can get everything. It's right off the highway from Jerusalem to Tel Aviv, so it's actually in a really good location. And there's plenty of space, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 stalls. It's apparently the version 3 stalls, because I just checked the car and it says 228 kilowatt hours. So honestly, since it's my first supercharger experience, I can't really give it any score, but I'll give it a 10 out of 10. Now you know.
Hey, Zach and Jesse. This is Joe. I'm the president of the Tesla Owners Club for San Joaquin Valley. I'm going to give you a little bit of update here in Madera, California. We have an awesome supercharger with like a million places to eat. We got Cinnabon, Pizza Hut, KFC, Western Union, a check cashing place. And get this, if charging is not enough for you and you can't find your snacks at all these great food places, then all you can do is take a little bit on the putting green. Yeah, that's right. For whatever reason, there is a putting green here. No idea why that's here. But yeah, that's here. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and give this one a 10 out of 10 because you're putting. Why not? And the superchargers are all awesome, and they even got a few of these forward-facing ones for people who are not backing in, and it looks like they have one set up for future prospects. Maybe it's all separated out here. Anyways, here signing off at the Madera Supercharger in California. Now you know.
Hey, Zach and Jesse. Morgan here, coming to you from Squamish, British Columbia at the brand new 12-stall V3 Supercharger. This is the one on the other side of the highway. There's an older one. This is the new one. Many stalls here. No Teslas at the moment, but really great to see. There's a couple places to eat just behind me there. There's a Dairy Queen and a couple other little restaurants around, and there's a Home Depot across the street. And it's also pretty close to the middle of the Squamish downtown, so lots of things to do here. Just came down to give it a review with my friend who writes reviews on unfinishedman.com. Great stuff. He's done lots of EV reviews, really insightful. So if you guys would like to have more information on that, just check out their website and search for some of the EVs. Thanks. Now you know.
What, we got 3 10 out of 10s?
That's pretty good.
Wow. I mean, putting green, of course, you got to give that a 10. And I mean, if it's your first time supercharging, I totally get it.
Totally get it. Yeah.
But I mean, normally let's back down a little bit on those numbers there. You know, a little.
Well, I mean, if it has something out of the ordinary, you can give it more points.
I know, but I can't believe I'm hearing this from you. Normally, you're the one who's like, I mean, putting green, okay, add half a point.
If it had a, listen, hey, if it had a driving range, then we're talking maybe a 9.5.
No, that's awesome. Everybody, look, I'm just so pumped that we're part of this community where people do this and yeah. rate them. And we have it on a map on our website. So go check that out. Go put your own reviews up there and give us your own numbers. All right, let's see what we got for new superchargers this week. And buckle up because there's a lot.
We have number 128 in Norway is the 12 stall in Nordfjordeid, Norway.
We got the 6 stall in Jinhua, China.
The 3 stall in Yangzhou, China.
We have the 6 stall in Orange, New South Wales.
The 3 stall in Taizhou in China.
We have number 1998 in China, the 2-stall low speed in Chengdu, China.
The 8-stall in Hernai, Spain.
The 16-stall in Hesperia, Main Street, California.
The 4-stall in Tokyo, Japan.
We have the 8-stall in Barsbudel, Germany.
Number 68 in Spain is the 8-stall in Madrid.
We got number 83 in Italy, the 12-stall in Fidenza, Italy.
The 12-stall in San Mateo, California.
Number 182 in France, the 12-stall in Varneville-Bretteville, France.
Number 47 in the Netherlands is the 20 stall in Nootdorp, Netherlands.
Oh, that's a fun word to say, Nootdorp. The 10 stall in Limburg, Globus, Germany.
The 6 stall in Solihull, UK.
We have the 4 stall in Yokohama, Japan.
The 12 stall in Provincetown, Massachusetts.
Number 70 in New Jersey is the 8 stall in Mahwah, New Jersey.
The 4 stall in Muldura, Victoria, Australia.
Number 81 in Pennsylvania is the 8th stall in Mount Pocono, Pennsylvania.
The 10th stall in Annesley, UK.
Number 14 in Kentucky is the 8th stall in Fort Mitchell.
The 8th stall in Post, Texas.
The 12th stall in Schwarzheide, Germany.
The 11th stall in Hamburg, Germany.
Number 89 in Australia, the 4th stall in Kojanup, Western Australia.
The 6th stall in Miramichi, New Brunswick.
Number 203 in Germany is the 12th stall in Lindau, Germany.
Number 72 in North Carolina is the 12th stall in Franklin, North Carolina.
The 16th stall in Melbourne, Florida.
The 8th stall in Anderson, California.
Number 134 in the UK is the 16th stall in Larkhall.
Number 37 in Austria is the 4th stall in Wels, in Austria.
Number 49 in Massachusetts is the 12th stall in Linfield.
Number 217 in Canada is the 20th stall in Mississauga at Vega Boulevard, Ontario.
The 20th stall in Hayward, California.
Number 445 in California is the 12th stall in San Juan Capistrano.
Number 15 in Thailand is the 4th stall in Chumphon, Thailand.
Number 158 in Florida is the 12 stall in Destin, Florida.
Number 22 in Alabama is the 12 stall at Orange Beach.
Number 160 in Texas is the 12 stall in Mercedes, Texas.
Number 46 in Ohio is the 8 stall in North Canton, Ohio.
Number 111 in Japan is the 6th stall at Yokosuka, Japan.
And number 60 in Illinois, number 2229 in the U.S., number 6235 in the world is the 8th stall in Vandalia, Illinois.
Woo!
395 episodes in a row!
And we couldn't have done it without our amazing team of editors around the world.
Adriana.
Brian.
Brent.
Jasper.
Jeremy.
Carlos.
Coleman.
Libor.
Lorenzo.
Maria.
Matthew.
Ramiz.
Ryan.
Scott.
Thomas.
And Zachary.
Amazing work every week, guys. Thank you so much. And remember, we can't do this without your support.
So thank you so much to our amazing Patreon patrons who make our independent reporting possible.
And also a big hug goes out to Yates and Christina in Colorado this week. Thank you for watching every week.
And thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next week. Now you know.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.